I just thought I'd say just a few words about why we've organised this forum before we introduce our speaker. We wanted to organise this forum because really the whole world is watching what's happening in Los Angeles, as well as these immigration raids and the protests to try and stop this really incredibly draconian anti-immigration racist push by Trump government. And we also know that there have also been terrible things happen under previous government, but it's just stepped up so much more. And we know that the world is an interconnected place. So other governments might try what Trump is doing. But also, we know that Trump has given his approval and praise for Australia's horrifically, cruel anti-refugee, anti-asylum seeker policies, and especially Australia's policy of offshore processing and intercepting people in international waters and shipping them off to remote islands for processing. And this is despite being an asylum seeker being entirely allowed by UN Refugee Convention and international law. So we know that governments around the world take right-wing governments take heart from each other and imitate each other's policies. And also, the whole question of the movements that's developed in the United States. We know that in the past, especially the Black Lives Matter movement had a resonance in Australia, especially because we've also have black deaths in custody in Australia as well. And so there was a strong resonance. We had Black Lives Matter protests in Australia in solidarity with the protests in the United States, but also in particular to highlight the deaths in custody of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in Australia. And, I would expect that any resistance in the United States will have some kind of reflection here. And we also know that just having come through a federal election where there was a lay of people in Australia who was so pissed off with our Labor government, do nothing, right-wing Labor government, that there was a lay of people edging towards voting towards for the coalition, but then suddenly got cold feet once they saw Trump elected and implementing horrific policies. So that actually meant that a lot of people who were starting to think about voting for the right-wing coalition party, sort of went back towards Labor. But we also know that, it's people will become disenchanted again with Labor because it is such a big business, Labor government. That's probably it for the introductory remarks. I'll just make a couple of announcements before I introduce our speaker. For anyone in the room who might be leaving before the end of the forum, I'd like to especially announce the eco-socialism conference that Socialist Alliance is organising. For people online, that's the conference. It's not until September because it is a major international conference and major local conference with international speakers from a wide range of countries, especially different Pacific countries or and South Asian countries, Pakistan, India, Malaysia, Indonesia, Philippines, South Korea, Singapore, to name just some of the participants who will be coming here, socialist activists, as well as I think we've just had a speaker confirmed from the United States, and other Palestinians coming from overseas. That conference will be in Melbourne, in an inner city suburb of Brunswick, at a new community centre called Ballumbellum Place. So people online, the link to the conference has just been put up, and there are weekly Palestine protests happening. People can also become a supporter of our Green Left Media Project, and also if people are interested in joining Socialist Alliance or finding out more about Socialist Alliance or attending our Introduction to Socialism and Introduction to Marxism discussions. People can contact people if you're in one of the centres, or else someone could make a private message or something. So now I've got to our speaker, and thanks so much, Thomas, for joining us, despite it being only 1 a.m. or 1:30 in the morning where you are in LA. The time difference isn't great for having speakers from the United States at meetings that suit us in Australia, especially on the East Coast. So Thomas Malone is our speaker tonight. He's a socialist activist based in Los Angeles. He's also a union organizer with the Service Employees International Union, the SEIU, and he's a member of the Democratic Socialists of America Bread and Roses Caucus. So special thanks, Thomas, for joining us despite the time difference. And people are really excited to hear, especially, reports from activists on the ground. So I think we'll really value, what you've got to say. And I'm also aware I heard of a protest heard a couple of days ago that, someone was killed at one of the protests against the ICE deportations in Salt Lake City, a Samoan American. So, things are pretty fierce in the United States. So special thanks, Thomas. And I think we've allocated you between 20 minutes to 25 minutes to speak. And I'll put a post in the chat or hold up a sign or something to say when it's about time to finish, and then we'll take questions and discussion. So thanks, Thomas.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, it's definitely hasn't let up, as you could probably imagine, since I last spoke with one of your folks here at Green Left. The protests have sort of like died down just a little bit. I would say that the ICE agents and federal agencies and stuff have been pretty relentless in terms of continuing to target communities, especially Latin American communities, Hispanic communities, and other sort of well-known immigrant communities. The basic premise of a lot of their activity, coming from the top down, is to, basically meet this quota. That is almost an impossible to meet quota among these agents of these different federal agencies. They need to have 3,000 people, some say a week, some say a day, but they need to have 3,000 people detained and ready to go to be processed, deported, and be gone. So given that there isn't really any sort of easy way to do that for the federal government, they're targeting, still what would be the racist person's imagination of where they could always find what they assume to be people that don't have documentation or improper documentation. So LA and the surrounding cities and even counties, every morning or so there will be just raids at hardware stores, local day labor centers, just general areas, street vendors where anyone that looks sort of Hispanic or out of the ordinary will be sort of targeted, harassed for their papers, and then just picked up by masked men in vaguely identifying things that maybe say police, maybe say ICE, maybe say neither. Do not identify themselves. They do not state the purpose of why they're there. They don't even have a warrant for these people. They're just thugs coming out of blacked out cars, grabbing people and moving on. And this is just something that's happening in a pattern day after day after day after day, ever since the first round of protests, and even after the No King's Day protests that folks might have heard about a week or so ago. So since, the peak of the army coming in and the National Guard and all these other things that are kind of sensationalized, the protests downtown have mostly died off, outside of disparate, different smaller groups going and doing different protests and such. So, those violent clashes you kind of see online have sort of subsided, except for, when there's different raids in different communities, the community comes and fights back as the ICE agents are there, or after the fact to sort of, fight back against what is a fascist overreach in their communities, and they can do whatever they can to fight back. The other thing that I think, despite the lack of protests, size and frequency and severity, the National Guard has been doubled up. So there's about 4,000 or so troops that Trump has illegally placed in a peacekeeping capacity, despite the fact that there's nothing happening anymore. They've been using them in some areas to guard the masked ICE agents and other federal agents that are going and grabbing people from flea markets and other such things. Same with active duty military are still stationed in Los Angeles and ready to go for whatever purpose, which is contrary to our national laws. So while those protests and things have died down, the severity and intensity of all of these attacks from the government are still going on nonstop. People are terrified to go out to work, whether they're documented or not, whether they're citizens or not, for fear of just being picked up randomly one day by some strangers that look like vigilantes that could be anybody. The community response to a lot of this stuff, has sort of transitioned from protesting to more, well, we call them, they've been around for a while, but they're called rapid response networks. Different community organizations, especially like immigrant rights groups, will have these to sort of like key in, hey, we have noticed that there might be some sort of federal agent activity here. Can someone check it out? And they can go verify it, collect and document all the information they can. So as time's going on, if more and more people are sort of keying into these sort of groups and being able to quickly respond to these raids as they kind of pitter patter around the city and the surrounding cities. So there's still, backlash from the community, but there's no sign of any of this stuff letting up. Trump, no, despite his side quests in the Middle East, he still is 100% in support of the things that are happening in Los Angeles. He's spreading it to other cities as well, like you already mentioned. And his key targets are what he sees are, Democrat-led cities and counties and states that need to be kind of put to heel by what he sees as, his political enemies. So the general response now is just communities still trying to fight back where they can, but the sword, as the spectacle is kind of stepped away, there's a lot less mainstream opposition to political opposition to some of the stuff that Trump's doing. So, they've already released our state council president from custody, David Huerta, that was arrested during the initial raids. And since then, there hasn't been a lot of major public statements from the union or other unions other than general condemnation as things continue. The Democratic political establishment in some areas, including in the state, are trying to pass legislation to make sure that the law enforcement have to clearly be able to identify themselves, which sounds like something that should be very clear when stuff like this is happening. But the right now, these federal agents, if they are a federal agents or officers, are able to just sort of operate with impunity. They're able to just come in day or night, whenever they want, grab people, warrant or not, any sort of order or not, let alone a real warrant, completely masked up, barely identifiable. There's reports lately that because of the community following them in neighborhoods and identifying them and their cars, they're actually starting to swap the license plates on the cars. They're starting to, not use them at all, and other sort of tactics to even further obfuscate the fact that they could just be random people. And that's something that is kind of a background hum to the general problems of political violence in the United States, especially with regards to the political assassinations that just happened in Minnesota, where a man who was, I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but there was a man that disguised himself as a police officer and murdered a few politicians. He's in custody now, but this is something that easily anybody could do. There's other places where people are pretending to be ICE agents to just intimidate black and brown communities and scare them into submission and support, their president and his policies. So all of this to say that, the situation is still extremely tense. Nothing has particularly changed since the beginning, and I personally believe that it's only going to continue to get worse as they kind of change their tactics, and the community needs to continue to responding. So it's just a very, very unfortunate time, and I think it's very important that you do bring up that a lot of the other far right actors and politicians and movements in other countries are going to follow Trump's lead on this because he looks to everyone else as well. So, yeah, I think it's just me. A lot of my daily work now with the union is completely revolving around immigration work and doing the little bit of community engagement and reaction that is possible within the sort of liberal bounds of political action within the labor unions and the, center left sort of progressive spaces. So it's just really, it's really sad. And it's not a good political analysis, but it really is just something that's, it's a never ending force. It's a never ending like push from ICE every day. They're in this neighborhood, they're in this neighborhood, and there's people chasing and chasing and chasing throughout. There's people now protesting outside of the hotels that they stay at in order to try to get them to leave. But then they just hop to another hotel and then they ship more people in and more people out. And it's just a constant, just heightened sense of intensity. And it's especially worse in immigrant communities. And I wish I had some more deeper things to say about this, but that I think is about the most of what I can say, unless you had specific questions for me. It's just a tense, tense time with a lot of pressure from the federal government and not a lot of pushback.